Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this Sunday, the second Sunday in Advent, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'd just like to remind everyone that after service today, we'll be having our annual congregational meeting. We invite everyone to stay, to be a part of that. So we'll take some time immediately after service to adjust ourselves, and then we will go into our congregational meeting. But again, that will be after service this morning. Please take the time to read your bulletin thoroughly, as well as go to our webpage, so that you might stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our first reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as an ensign to the peoples. Him shall the nations seek, and his dwellings shall be glorious.
Our gospel reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of Matthew's gospel, verses 1 through 12. So let us listen again to God's word for us. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of the Lord. Amen. Friends, this is again the second Sunday of Advent. As you have heard, in Advent we are during the season waiting. We are waiting for Christmas, of course. We have a few more weeks to go before Christmas, but we are also waiting for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come again. But we don't just wait idly by. This season, this time, is also a season of preparation, a season of getting ready. And that's what Advent is about. I was reminded the other day during Bible study that Advent is a season of penitence. Like the season of Lent, it's a season where we are called to turn around and reorient ourselves to what really matters. The basic message of repentance can easily be lost, of course, during this season in the midst of all the tinsel and the lights and the commercially induced good cheer. I suspect that many of us would prefer to skip Advent altogether and move right into Christmas. That's always a big temptation, but that would be a mistake. We can't just move right into Christmas. We have to be prepared. We have to get ready. And that's why every year on the second Sunday of Advent, the lectionary sends us John the Baptist so that we can be prepared. John, of course, as many of you know, is an interesting character. He wears interesting clothes. He resides in the wilderness. I don't think you should expect finding any Christmas cards with John's image on it. He doesn't necessarily seem Christmassy, but he's the one that we get to prepare the way of the Lord this morning. And I have to say, I don't envy John his job very much. I wouldn't want his job at all. It's not because of the clothes that he wears. I have a nice camel hair jacket I like to wear during this time of year, so camel hair doesn't bother me. Nor am I repulsed by his diet. Locusts and honey don't sound terribly appetizing, but it's probably far better than a lot of the fare many people subsist on today. No, what makes John's job so unenviable is that John is a prophet, which means he has to speak hard words of truth to God's people, and that's never easy. And the hard word of truth that John speaks this morning is a word of repentance. That's what he says, repent. If you want to see the coming of God in your midst, if you want to see the coming of God's kingdom, then you have to turn around. You have to repent. Have you ever noticed that that's never easy to do? It's never easy to get people to repent. Have you ever tried to turn somebody's mind around? Have you ever tried to get someone to live in a new way? Repenting is not easy, and John's job is not easy this morning. I know I've shared this story before, but it's always worth repeating. My mother, who volunteers at a hospital, told me the story about a young man who kept coming into the emergency room for a heart condition exacerbated by drug use. He was obviously addicted to drugs, and he would use drugs, and every time he would use drugs, it would have an adverse effect on his heart, and so he would go into the emergency room, and each time the doctors would tell him that he needed to change. He needed to turn his life around. He needed to do away with the drugs, but it went in one ear and out the other until finally he was checked into the hospital and the doctors had to tell him the sad news. There was nothing more they could do for him. His condition was terminal. And wish that young man would have listened, wish he would have heeded what the doctors was trying to tell him, wish he could have turned his life around, wish he could have repented. But that's the way some people are. Some people hear and heed, and other people hear and don't heed. But that's John's message this morning. His message is a word of repentance. One of the things that John is doing, of course, is he's trying to get his own people to repent before it's too late. He has called everyone out into the wilderness. He's called everyone out to the River Jordan. He has called everyone out to remember the story of God's people, how they came through the wilderness, how they crossed the River Jordan to embark upon a whole new journey as God's people together. And now John's saying it's about ready to come again. It's about ready to happen again. God's about ready to do a new thing. And so he's calling everyone back out to the Jordan. And he wants them to repent. He wants them to turn around. And to begin to be prepared for this new thing that God is about to do. We often assume that John is loud, that he's caustic, that he's fiery. But maybe that's just an assumption. What if that wasn't his tone? What if his tone was more of a pleading tone? What if down at the River Jordan he was pleading, repent? Please, please repent. Repent while there's still time. Turn around. Turn your lives around while you still have time. The axe is already at the root. Please change. Please turn around. Repentance, of course, is not about feeling remorseful. It's not about feeling bad or sorry for what you've done. But repentance is about change. It's about reorientation. It's about turning around. It's about being human. Being the human creatures that God made us and created us to be. I know when we think of repentance, we often think of sin. Many people think of sin, repent from your sins, and that's true. And when we think of sins, we often think of any number of immoral acts. But sin, as one commentator I read put it, is simply our refusal to become fully human. Our refusal to become creatures made in the image of God. Sin is a defacing of our God-given humanity. I haven't done it yet this year, but one of my holiday traditions is to watch a version of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. That's what's wrong with the lead character, old Ebenezer Scrooge. He's greedy and he's miserly, but he's not terribly immoral in a traditional sense. Despite his wealth, he lives a rather austere and disciplined lifestyle. He's willing to sit all day in the cold rather than put another coal on the fire to warm up the room. He goes home every night and he eats the same gruel. He has no love, no care, no warmth in his heart for anyone. His every relationship is transactional. He doesn't see human beings. He just sees debtors and takers, people who fail to live the same exacting discipline as he does. And so he's become totally inhuman. Until one day, as grace would have it, he has sent three messengers to get him to change. To get him to turn around, to get him to repent. And that's what God sends us every year, a messenger with the same message, repent, change, turn around, open yourself up to become fully and truly human, to be the human creatures that God created us to be. The call to repentance often carries with it judgment. And that's one of the things that makes John's job so hard. We don't want to hear about the judgment What most people think of judgment, what comes to mind is condemnation. I'm being condemned. And yes, that's part of it. But judgment, as someone said, is about seeing. Judgment is about discerning. It's about seeing things clearly. First, it's about seeing clearly what we have become. It's about seeing clearly all the ways that we've allowed ourselves to become inhuman. Inhuman in how we treat our neighbors, inhuman in how we treat the poor, in how we treat the vulnerable, in how we treat the strangers in our midst. There are a lot of ways that we can become inhuman, a lot of ways that we can set something else at the center of our hearts other than God. And whenever we do so, we become less than human, we become inhuman. I heard something last week that was aimed at one of our immigrant communities. It was horrifying, in fact. The whole community was depicted as garbage that needed to get out. And I'm sorry, but that's terrible language. It's horrible language to use towards anybody. It's terrible language. It's the kind of language that leads to the systematic destruction of people. It's language that not only dehumanizes the target community, but it also dehumanizes all of us, especially those who hearken to such views. Part of the ways that we become inhuman . This morning we lit the candle of peace. And that's what we all want. Not just some warm, swishy, inner glow of peace, but real and genuine peace among nations and among peoples. That's what we all want. That's what we all say we want. And yet, we all know the kind of world we live in. A world of wars and rumors of wars, a world where boats, speedboats are blown up and demolished, a world where nations prepare to invade other nations, a world where nations have already invaded other nations, a world that is constantly at war, a world that is filled with violence. And a big part of the problem is the way we dehumanize ourselves and the way we dehumanize others. And nowhere is that more true than in the Holy Land, the very land where John the Baptist, the very land where Jesus himself walked. The very fact that we justify killing and injustice in the name of the Bible, in the name of our religious faiths, tells you all you need to know about what has become of our humanity. It tells you all you need to know about the power of sin in our lives. And yet it's in the midst of this very land that John the Baptist steps this morning and says, "Repent." You need to repent. You need to turn around. John was telling the people of his day that unless they repent, that Judea was going to be turned into a smoldering stump. Unless they repent, Judea was going to be cut down. The axe, he said, is already at the root. The winnowing fork is already getting ready. You need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to turn around for the injustice that you've been committing. You need to turn around for the ways that you've been treating the most vulnerable people in your midst. You need to turn around. You need to repent. And Jesus, in his own message of repentance, was telling the people of his day that unless they repent and follow him and follow his way into the kingdom, they were going to bring upon themselves great disaster. When Jesus was calling people to repent, he wasn't just telling them to stop fussing and cussing and spitting and doing all the kinds of things we often think about when we think about sin, but he was telling them that their way of trying to bring in the kingdom by force was going to fail. There are some, he says, that try to take the kingdom by force, but that's not the way we do it. Not through violence. If you want to see the kingdom, if you want to prepare yourself for the kingdom, you have to prepare your hearts to be a place of love. You have to prepare your heart to be a place that is tilted towards your neighbor. You have to get out of your selfishness and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so repentance and judgment is about seeing. It's about seeing ourselves clearly. But it's also about seeing God clearly. It's about seeing who God is and seeing what God dreams of for the world and for all of us. And so we get this powerful vision in Isaiah that Kate read this morning, where we're told about a coming leader. A coming leader who will be unlike any other leader. A coming leader who will have the Spirit of God resting all over him. The Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, and the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will judge the poor with justice. Can you imagine that? Judging the poor with justice. He will defend the cause of the poor and give deliverance to the needy. No more catering to the rich. No more catering to the powerful. No more giving the powerful what they want. But he will judge and defend the cause of the poor. No more cutting taxes for rich people at the expense of cutting benefits for the poor. No more kicking the poor and the needy to the side. But he will judge the people with righteousness and with justice. And we also see something else clearly. We see what God dreams and what God wants for the world. God dreams of a world of peace where the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Isn't that a wonderful vision? A little child will lead them. You know what happens to children in our world. They're often taken for granted. They are often the victims of our wars and our violence. They're bombed. They're starved. They're killed. But in this vision that God wants for the whole world, we're told that a child, a little vulnerable child, will lead them. We'll be in the midst of them, this world where we get a vision of the peaceable kingdom. Can you imagine such a world? Can you imagine such a world where the Russians and the Ukrainians eat together? Can you imagine a world where Jews and Palestinian Arabs play together and sit together? Can you imagine a world where people who've been at enmity and in strife with each other share their stories with each other and share their lives with each other? Can you imagine a world where there's no more division and no more separateness and no more hostility, where there's no one trying to divide people against each other. Can you imagine that kind of world, in a world where the most vulnerable people are the leaders? That's the kind of world that God dreams of. That's the kind of world that God wants. Every year, John the Baptist comes and he gives us a choice. He says, you all can continue to do what you're doing. You can continue to live the lives that you're living. You can continue to go the way that you're going. You can continue to go your own way. You can continue with your own selfishness. You can continue to be inhumane. Or you can turn around. You can turn around and produce works worthy of repentance. You can turn around and you can begin to live into the kind of world that God is dreaming for all of us. John says, repent. Please repent. Please turn around. Please reorient your lives before it's too late. I always loved the ending of Dickens' Christmas Carol. The story ends with old Ebenezer Scrooge at the home of Bob Cratchit, his secretary, the man that he often gave a great deal of grief. And he's a new man. His heart is filled with warmth and love and care for this family. And he has little tiny Tim, Bob Cratchit's little son. And he's holding tiny Tim on his knee. And tiny Tim says, God bless you, everyone. God bless you, everyone. And that's what repenting is about. That's what Advent is about. It's about God bless you, everyone. God bless you, all of us. God bless you, everyone. But we need to turn around. We need to repent. We need to reorient our lives to the God of grace and love for the whole world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you again for this time here this morning. We thank you for reminding us during this season of your light coming into the world, the light that you have given us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in this little bitty baby who comes and enters into the darkness of our world, into the darkness of our meanness, the darkness of our selfishness, the darkness of all the ways that we treat each other, and shows us another way, a more excellent way, the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, the way after your own heart, the way of love and grace and mercy, the way that can heal our hearts, heal our nations, and heal our families. Help us to walk in that way as we seek to be your faithful servants for this season of Advent and until that day when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns again to reconcile this whole world to yourself. And it's in his name we pray here this morning. Amen.